ready, Mr. President.
Kermit?
Yes, Mr. President.
Carl Albert says that our great problem down there is these appropriation bills every year. The great problem with them is we don't get the authorization bills down. And he said if we could just get the various authorization bills we have to have, like space authorization and the others, and get them in there right now and let the authorizing committees start the hearing.
I think he's right, Mr. President.
Good. Said if we'd burn a little midnight oil, they would, and then that wouldn't give the cannons and passmans anything like the leverage that they have had on you. And hello, wait just a second. Hello, Dale.
How are you?
Good to see you. Got any frame ups on? So good to see you. Thank you. Come in. Where do you work out in it?
Kermit,
if we could get a list of the foreign, now foreign aid will be a little later on account of this study.
That's right.
But we ought to ask them pretty quick. And
What I can get for you, Mr. President, is a quick roundup on the status of each of the authorization bills now and how many days it'll take to get it up there. I think I get that without too much trouble. I think this is very important. I think Carl Albert was perfectly right. I do know of some cases in which the agency's moving ahead very fast. Coast Guard is one that is, I think, almost ready to go. What's been happening, as you know, Mr. President, is that each year the Congress puts more and more appropriations on an annual authorization basis. And this means that that no matter how fast the authorization legislation gets up there, it slows down the whole process. AEC, for example, was put on an annual authorization basis for the whole budget just last year, and this is going to delay the AEC process. They did the same with Coast Guard. I think we're moving to a very unfortunate situation in which every agency is put on an annual authorization basis. And even no matter how soon they get the authorization bills up, this is going to mean a delay in the whole appropriations process. And I would think that anything that could be done to slow down this trend toward moving to annual authorizations on everything would make it the picture a lot better in the future. I think we've got to the point now, if I'm not mistaken, where about 40% of the whole budget is on an annual authorization basis, and it goes up every year.
All right, now. I'll talk to them about that. I think maybe you might consider calling the departments together and seeing if they can't quietly, without a lot of publicity, when they testify, get ready to testify before the House, and the House is not ready to receive them, see if the Senate subcommittees on appropriations won't receive them so they can get their testimony in January and February, much as they can.
Oh, you're talking about appropriations, then?
Yeah.
I see.
Because agriculture, for instance, can get all of its research and all of its stuff out of the way, the dead stuff that they have to go through. And Russell used to do that. He'd have his ready before the House would.
Yeah, yeah.
And the House, you can't report a bill in the Senate before the House does, but you can quietly have them in the morning in the House, go over in the afternoon in the Senate, or I don't know what they could work out with the House. I wouldn't tell the House much what I was doing, but I'd have each cabinet officer and each substantial head of this agency, like Jim Webb and like Federal Aviation and those, get their subcommittee chairman to start hearing them in the Senate as quick as they can so they can be as ready as they can. And when they settle a critical thing over the House, they can come over and the next day or two wind it up.
Good, good.
So well, let's do that on A, authorization, and B, appropriation.
I'll follow up on this, and I'll try to get a report to you right away on what kind of a schedule we can make on the authorization bill.
I remember you told me all authorities on legislation. So
now we've got to prove it.
Now the next thing, I rather think that you and Elmer ought to have your press man, and you ought to get in some key people to give them a rough, not a detailed briefing, but something that will answer all this stuff that this can't be true, and try to kind of get this thing in proper perspective as far as the budget's concerned.
Well, I've been doing a lot this morning, in addition to what I did yesterday. I've been doing a lot this morning on the telephone. I got a call in right now for the man at Business Week, who I'm sure are going to ask questions about just this matter, how we're going to do it. The phrase now is that this budget is smaller on the outside, bigger on the inside, and this is the problem we've got to explain to him and make clear how it's been done.
Now, Heller says, I asked him to do it last night, but after he talked to you, he thought he ought to do it on an individual basis, and I agreed. go along. I don't much think so. I think if he'd get a group in, you'd get a group in, I think that they could get it pretty well. Noster double-crossed him. And
he sure did. Story. He sure did. That was a mean story in the buzz.
And Walter just he sucked him in, I think. I would do it in a group where the rest of the reporters would know what the facts are. And I think that he has his study now where he can say that with our tax bill, we'll have the greatest stimulus to the economy that we've had in any single year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think another thing that they all overlook, they say, how can you do all these extra things and still have a smaller budget? I would say, well, now, that's a very simple thing. We're spending about it.
Just a moment, please.
A good many of our missiles behind us, and a good many of our peak defense expenditures behind us. Some of our peak atomic energy expenditures behind us. Some of our peak other expenditures behind us. And what we're doing is giving poverty $300 million and Appalachia $250 million, that's $550 million, and labor an extra $250 million, that's $800 million, and the health, education, and welfare $500 million or $600 million is $1.3 billion. Now we're saving $1 billion of it in defense.
Mm-hmm. One way of putting it, Mr. President, that I found very effective. I was talking to the Newsweek man in Washington this morning, and he seemed to grab onto this, and I think it's a good way to put it. Last year, in President Kennedy's 1964 budget, you remember that all of the increase in the budget was in the category of defense, space, and interest. The rest of the budget taken together went down. There were some pluses and minuses, but apart from defense, space, and interest, the rest of the budget as a unit declined by about $300 million. Now, he had an increase last year in the 64 budget over 63 of about $4.5 billion just in defense, space, and interest. Defense went up about $2.5 billion. Space went up about $1.5 billion, and interest went up. That was where the big increases went last year. Now, by comparison, in this year, you start out with a decline of $1 billion in defense, and you got in the national defense category another $100 million or so in atomic energy, whereas space goes up only about $600 million. So the defense, space, and interest category is practically unchanged. As against his plus $4.5 billion, and it's that shifts the emphasis of the budget away from the defense, space, and interest area toward the domestic welfare area, and it's really that explains why it's possible to go up by $1.5 billion in this health, education, welfare, and labor area. I found this way of putting it and describing it as a shift in emphasis in the budget, which makes possible the expansion in the civilian area is an idea that they seem to be fairly receptive to.
All right, unless they follow the Goldwater line, say we're weakening defenses and going to social welfare.
Well, it's the awfully hard seems to me for the Republicans to say that, Mr. President, when you remember that we've gone up just about $10 billion since the last Republican defense budget. They were in the neighborhood of $40 billion, we're in the neighborhood of $50 billion, and we've done an awful lot to build up our defenses.
Give me a memo on that $4.5 billion on the defense, space, and interest.
Uh-huh.
And this year, we about the same.
This year, for that category, just about the same, that's right. Defense is down about $1 billion, and space and interest are up about $1 billion. Just about a washout.
Well, then where do we get our money for health, education, welfare?
Well, there are other declines in the category other than defense, base, and interest. There's a decline of about $1 billion in agriculture, a CCC reduction, and there's small declines in Veterans Administration, one or two other places, and that just about balances off the increase in health, education, welfare, and labor.
Get me a memo on that.
Sure.
Give some thought now to getting these folks in. I really think you ought to have a dozen of them to say, now here's what it is, and give this explanation you've got, and get them before they all write their stories and listen to Halleck and Dirks. And I think we've got more resources and more facilities if we use them than they have, but I don't know whether just individual basis is enough or not. I told Beard, Taylor, you and Walter, I thought y'all ought to give reconsideration to seeing as many folks as you could and explaining it to them, because they don't understand it, and the speech doesn't explain it. And they're going to get off if you don't direct them.
Did you see the editorial in the Times this morning, Mr.
Yeah,
President?
No.
Well, I think that reflected the talk I had with Oaks yesterday.
I think it came out
pretty well.
I think it's exceptionally good, and I think it's good that you're there.
That was the one thing I was afraid of, the Times editorial, and I think it came out pretty well.
Thank you, my friend.
Very good.